Regional communities from Queensland to Victoria have expressed dismay at the decision by the federal government to axe funding for the Melbourne to Brisbane Inland Rail project beyond the New South Wales town of Parkes. The decision comes amid concern the project could cost more than $45 billion to complete, and ahead of next Tuesday's federal budget, with the government under pressure to rein in spending. Bridget McKenzie is a Shadow Minister for Infrastructure, Transport, Regional Development, Local Government and Territories, and joins me now. Senator, welcome back to Breakfast.
Great to be with you, Sally.
Yesterday, you said the Nationals are absolutely committed to inland rail. Does that mean that you think the northern section should be finished, whatever the cost?
Well, Sally, I want to know why the Labor Party has lost control of this project. There are serious questions to answer about why the costs have blown out to this amount. I haven't seen the details of the report, and we even know the figures the SHOT review used were a little fudged. So I want to see the details on the modelling, because when you delay a build, it increases costs. When the CFMEU gets involved in the delivery pipeline through muscling out subcontractors, which is happening up and down this project over recent years, it drives up costs. And when inflation is on the rise, it also drives up costs. So I want to understand where this figure comes from and why, under the Labor Party's management, the costs have increased. But you are right in your opening comment. The level of dismay and concern between Melbourne Port and Brisbane Port about the cancellation of this nation-building project have been, right yesterday when people were surprised and shocked and dismayed at this announcement by the Labor government. They've been making their concerns heard loud and clear. This is a project that was supposed to take over 200,000 heavy vehicles currently driving up and down these roads on a freight task off the road, reduce carbon emissions by over 750,000 tonnes per year by 2050, and actually get that resilience built into the north-south freight task between Melbourne and Brisbane. And this Labor government has actually derailed this project, and indeed sent a chill through the infrastructure pipeline investment community, because no project would now be safe from some future government turning off the tap.
The opposition has been urging the government to rein in spending. Isn't this the sort of decision you've been calling for, or what cuts would you prefer in the budget to maintain spending on inland rail?
Yeah, Sally, I note that that seems to be the Labor Party's talking points. That, what do you want us to do, Bridget? Well, cutting productivity-enhancing infrastructure is not the way to build a resilient economy going forward, particularly when productivity is in the toilet under this government. Cutting structural spends in the budget that have been baked in over the last 4 years is how we actually address the inflation issue that the Reserve Bank governor has raised.
So what would you cut? What sort of things do you think should be cut?
Well, absolutely. Let's get the NDIS, the runaway spending of the NDIS, under control. I note the government's going to take the saves without actually showing that they can implement the policies that will drive those savings. So we're going to work with them to do that. I would audit Indigenous funding, $5.7 billion, and children are still dying in regional communities and town camps, as we've seen recently. And I would be looking at how we make choices. So the government is prioritising some spends over others. Look at the ISIS brides. To monitor those 24/7 is $2 million a year. So this government is making decisions
each and every day. That they shouldn't be monitored?
No, what I'm saying is they haven't revoked passports or travel documents to allow them back in. So the government is making decisions.
They're Australian citizens, and unless there's a delay order, they need to come back in.
I'm happy to debate ISIS brides with you and why the government has stuffed this up. But you asked me a question about savings within the budget, and I would argue forcefully that cutting productivity-enhancing infrastructure projects like the Inland Rail, like road projects up and down this country is not the way to actually get your spending profile under control. You're cutting the wrong things, not the things that are going to drive a productive economy.
You're listening to Radio National Breakfast. My guest is the Shadow Minister for Infrastructure and Transport, Senator Bridget McKenzie. I need to ask you about FARA, the regional New South Wales federal seat of FARA, has historically been safe coalition territory. Are you confident the coalition will hold on to it after the by-election this weekend?
Well, I think it's going to be tough, Sally. I live just across the river. I've been in FARA with our fabulous candidate, Brad Robinson. The National Party's getting a really positive response. We haven't run there for a quarter of a century. So whether it's water policy, the new hospital we're committing to, it's a really positive response for our localised campaign. But you're right, this community, these communities feel very forgotten by Canberra. You've got the Teal independent who, you know, will join other Teals who vote for water policy that takes water out of productive agricultural use and the like. So it's going to be a real challenge, but we're putting everything forward and doing our very, very best to actually make sure that we maximise the National Party's vote on Saturday. And I'll be flag waving again tomorrow morning in Albury before people get to work.
In another pre-budget announcement, the government says it will allocate billions of dollars for a package of measures aimed at increasing Australia's fuel stockpiles. Broadly, does the opposition support the government's actions to strengthen fuel security?
Absolutely. We've been calling for the minimum mandatory stockpile obligation to be lifted to 60 days. That would take us to having 90 days stockpile here. So we absolutely support this. It's nice to see the government has recognised we're in a fuel crisis. But one thing I want the government to actually understand, when we're going to be thinking about setting up refineries and having that sovereign capability on shore, let's not waste this crisis, absolutely. But you've got to think about why those businesses left. It was the carbon tax under Gillard, you know, the industrial relations laws, our environmental laws to get these projects built and make sure they're financially sustainable going forward. So let's get the whole suite of
But didn't four of the six refineries go under the coalition government, Senator?
They left. They announced those that they were leaving prior to Tony Abbott being elected because of the carbon tax that Gillard put in place. So, Albo, get rid of the safeguard mechanisms for these refineries. Make sure that Australian banks will allow these businesses to operate on shore and, you know, we might get somewhere. Sally, just on your question about what I wouldn't invest in, I would not be investing in the $260 billion suburban rail loop in Melbourne. I'd be finishing the Inland Rail.
Just one final question on FARA. Yesterday, Liberal frontbencher James Patterson got into something of a disagreement, an altercation with a One Nation volunteer at a pre-polling booth in FARA. You've campaigned in the seat. What did you make of this incident?
Well, I've been on a lot of different polling booths over the years. Things can get pretty heated. But as I said, for us in the National Party, it's been a really positive campaign. I think One Nation is seeming like it's sky high in the polls, but you can't find the candidate for love nor money in FARA. And it turns out if you actually want to be voting for a candidate that doesn't want high immigration and doesn't think we need to be spending more on foreign aid, then you're probably better off voting for the National Party than you are for One Nation in FARA, because their candidate is at odds with One Nation policy on that.
Bridget McKenzie, we'll need to leave it there. Thank you for your time this morning.
Thanks, mate.